Ever feel like you're just going through the motions, playing by rules you never agreed to? I used to do the same, constantly worried about fitting in, pleasing others, and playing nice. But one day, I realized something shocking. Most of the social habits we're taught are designed to keep us stuck, not to help us thrive. So, if you're ready to step off the hamster wheel and start living life on your own terms, it's time to quietly eliminate these toxic social habits. This won't be comfortable, and it definitely won't be popular. But trust me, it'll set you free. Social habit number one, people-pleasing. Let's talk about people-pleasing, a habit so ingrained in us that we often mistake it for kindness. But here's the thing, people-pleasing isn't kindness. It's self-sabotage wrapped in politeness. I used to be the poster child for it, saying yes to every request, smiling through every inconvenience, and twisting myself into knots just to keep others happy. I thought I was being generous, but in reality, I was just putting everyone else's needs ahead of my own, at my own expense. The turning point came when I realized that constantly catering to others was not only exhausting, but also a one-way ticket to resentment. I was bending over backward to accommodate people who didn't even appreciate it. The funny thing is, the more I tried to please everyone, the less respect I got in return. It was as if by always saying yes, I was telling the world that my time, my energy, and even my self-worth were up for grabs. So, I decided to flip the script. I started saying no when I wanted to, without a laundry list of excuses to justify it. And guess what? The world didn't end. In fact, the people who truly cared about me respected my boundaries and admired my newfound confidence. Yes, a few people were shocked, maybe even a little offended, but those reactions only revealed who was really in my corner. Here's the controversial part. People-pleasing is selfish, not selfless. When you're constantly trying to keep everyone happy, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it to avoid discomfort, rejection, or confrontation. It's about protecting yourself from feeling bad, not about genuinely helping others. Once I realized this, I stopped trying to be everyone's best friend and started being my own. So, if you're still trapped in the cycle of people-pleasing, it's time to wake up. You're not a doormat, and your worth isn't tied to how much you can give to others. Break free from this habit, and you'll find that the people who matter will stay, while those who don't will quietly fade away. And trust me, life gets a whole lot lighter when you're not carrying everyone else's expectations on your back. Habit number two, holding grudges. Holding grudges is like clutching a burning coal, hoping the person who wronged you will feel the heat. I used to be an expert at it, clinging to every hurtful word and betrayal, convinced that my resentment was a form of justice. I thought that by holding on to my anger, I was keeping my guard up, protecting myself from further pain. But the truth is, holding a grudge does more harm to you than to anyone else. It's like poisoning your own heart and expecting the other person to suffer. There was a time when someone I trusted deeply betrayed me. I held on to that anger for years, replaying the scenario in my head, imagining different outcomes where I got the last word, the final say. I thought that by nurturing that grudge, I was somehow maintaining control, keeping the hurt at bay. But instead of feeling powerful, I felt heavy, burdened by the weight of my own resentment. The grudge didn't keep me safe. It kept me stuck. Here's the deep truth. Holding on to a grudge is like anchoring yourself in a stormy sea. You think it's keeping you steady, but in reality, it's pulling you under, drowning you in a sea of bitterness and pain. The longer you hold on, the deeper you sink, until you realize that the only way to save yourself is to let go. But letting go isn't about forgetting or condoning what happened. It's about choosing your peace over your pain. I eventually realized that forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about reclaiming your own freedom. It's about saying, I refuse to let this hurt define who I am or how I live my life. When I finally let go of that grudge, I felt an incredible sense of relief, as if a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. It was then that I understood. Holding a grudge doesn't protect you from future harm, it just keeps you chained to the past. And here's the deeper message. Life is too short to be lived in chains, especially ones we forge ourselves. Grudges are chains that bind us to our wounds, preventing us from healing, growing, and finding true happiness. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks those chains. It's an act of courage, of self-love, and of profound wisdom. It's acknowledging that while we can't change the past, we have the power to shape our future. So if you find yourself holding on to a grudge, ask yourself this. Is this really how you want to spend your energy? Is this how you want to define your life? Let go. Not because the other person deserves it, but because you deserve peace. Release the burden and watch how your life opens up when you no longer let past wounds dictate your present and future. In the end, the deepest message is this. Forgiveness isn't about making the wrongs right. It's about making yourself whole again. Habit number 3, ignoring red flags in relationships. We've all been there, stuck in a relationship where things just don't feel right, but we convince ourselves to keep going anyway. Maybe it's because we're afraid of being alone, or we believe that things will magically improve with time. I've been guilty of this too, ignoring glaring red flags because I didn't want to face the truth. But here's the hard reality. Ignoring red flags in a relationship is like driving with your eyes closed. You're bound to crash, and the longer you ignore them, the worse the wreck will be. I once stayed in a relationship that I knew was toxic from the start. There were constant arguments, disrespectful comments, and a lack of trust. But instead of confronting the issues or walking away, I kept making excuses. It's just a rough patch, I told myself. Or, everyone has their flaws, and maybe I'm overreacting. I wanted so badly for it to work out that I ignored every sign that it was doomed to fail. The truth is, red flags are there for a reason. They're warning signals that something is fundamentally wrong. Whether it's a lack of respect, consistent dishonesty, or behaviors that make you feel uneasy, these signs shouldn't be dismissed or downplayed. When you ignore red flags, you're essentially choosing to compromise your own well-being for the sake of maintaining a relationship that's not serving you. Here's the controversial part. Ignoring red flags is not about being too forgiving or too optimistic. It's about self-betrayal. When you choose to overlook those warning signs, you're telling yourself that your needs, your feelings, and your intuition don't matter. You're prioritizing someone else's comfort or approval over your own happiness and peace of mind. And that's a dangerous game to play. I learned the hard way that red flags don't go away. They grow bigger and more destructive over time. The longer you ignore them, the more they fester, turning what could have been a minor issue into a major crisis. In my case, the relationship eventually imploded, and I was left wondering why I didn't walk away sooner before things got so bad. The signs were there all along, but I chose to close my eyes to them. Here's the deep message. Ignoring red flags isn't just about avoiding uncomfortable truths. It's about denying yourself the respect and love you deserve. You deserve to be in a relationship where you feel safe, valued, and heard, not one where you're constantly on edge, hoping things will change. When you start noticing those red flags, listen to them. They're your intuition's way of protecting you, of guiding you towards something better. Walking away from a relationship that shows red flags isn't easy, especially if you're emotionally invested. But it's a necessary step towards self-preservation and growth. It's about choosing yourself over the fear of being alone, or the hope that things will improve. It's about recognizing that you deserve more than to settle for a relationship that doesn't honor who you are. So, If you're in a relationship where red flags are waving, don't ignore them. Don't make excuses or convince yourself that you can fix things on your own. Trust your gut, prioritize your well-being, and have the courage to walk away if necessary. Because in the end, the most important relationship you'll ever have is the one with yourself. And you deserve to be in a relationship that reflects that, one where you're truly seen, respected, and loved. Habit number 4, staying silent on important issues. Staying silent on important issues is often seen as the path of least resistance, a way to keep the peace, avoid conflict, and maintain the status quo. But here's the harsh truth. Silence in the face of injustice, wrongdoing, or moral dilemmas is not neutrality. It's complicity. I used to believe that keeping quiet was the right thing to do, especially when the stakes were high and the issues were divisive. I told myself that it wasn't my place to speak up, that my voice wouldn't make a difference. But over time, I realized that staying silent was more than just a personal failing. It was a betrayal of my values and a disservice to the world around me. There was a time when I witnessed something profoundly wrong in my workplace. A colleague was being mistreated, their contributions undermined, and their dignity stripped away. I saw it happening day after day, but I kept my head down, telling myself that it wasn't my fight. I didn't want to stir the pot or risk my own position. So I stayed silent, thinking that someone else would step in, that the situation would resolve itself. But it didn't, and my silence weighed on me, a constant reminder that I had chosen comfort over courage. Here's the controversial part. Staying silent on important issues is not just a passive act. It's an active choice to let wrongs go unchallenged. When you stay silent, you're giving your tacit approval to the very things you know are wrong. You're allowing injustice to persist, not because you agree with it, but because you're too afraid or too complacent to speak out. This isn't just about personal integrity, it's about the broader impact of your silence. When good people say nothing, evil flourishes. Over time, I came to understand that silence is not a shield, it's a prison. It locks you into a space where you're constantly compromising your values, swallowing your voice, and watching as things you care about fall apart. The cost of staying silent is high. It erodes your self-respect, damages your relationships, and allows harm to continue unchecked. In my case, the guilt of not standing up for what was right haunted me long after the incident passed, a reminder that my silence had consequences beyond what I could have imagined. The deep message here is that speaking up, even when it's uncomfortable, is a moral obligation. It's about being true to yourself and the principles you hold dear. It's about recognizing that your voice matters, that you have the power to influence change, no matter how small your contribution may seem. Silence might protect you from immediate conflict, but it also robs you of the chance to make a difference, to stand up for what's right, and to live in alignment with your values. It's important to understand that speaking up doesn't mean being confrontational or disrespectful. It's about being honest, direct, and courageous in the face of wrongdoing. It's about finding the strength to say, "This isn't right," even when it's easier to stay quiet. Yes, there may be risks, backlash, criticism, or even personal loss, but those risks pale in comparison to the damage done by staying silent. One of the most powerful lessons I've learned is that silence is rarely golden when it comes to important issues. Your voice is a tool, a force for good that can challenge injustice, inspire change, and defend the vulnerable. When you stay silent, you're choosing to let that power go to waste. But when you speak up, you're not just advocating for others, you're reclaiming your own integrity, reinforcing your values, and showing the world who you truly are. So the next time you're tempted to stay silent on an important issue, remember this: your voice matters. It can make a difference, even if it's just in one person's life. Don't let fear or complacency hold you back from speaking up. The world needs more voices of courage, more people willing to stand up for what's right, even when it's difficult. Because in the end, staying silent on important issues doesn't protect you, it diminishes you. And the cost of that silence is too high to pay. Habit number 5. Seeking constant entertainment. In today's world, where endless streams of content are just a click away, seeking constant entertainment has become almost second nature. We're bombarded with distractions, social media, TV shows, video games and more, all designed to keep us hooked and coming back for more. I'll admit, I used to be caught up in this cycle too. Every spare moment was filled with something, scrolling through my phone, binge-watching the latest series, or diving into the next viral trend. It felt good, in the moment. But here's the uncomfortable truth. Seeking constant entertainment is a subtle form of escapism, and it's slowly eroding our ability to face reality, think deeply, and live meaningful lives. I remember days where I would mindlessly drift from one form of entertainment to the next, barely noticing the hours slipping by. It was all too easy to get lost in the endless sea of distractions, convincing myself that I was just relaxing or unwinding. But over time, I realized that what I was really doing was avoiding something far more important: my own thoughts, emotions, and responsibilities. The constant need for entertainment wasn't just filling my time. It was filling a void that I wasn't willing to confront. Here's where it gets controversial. Seeking constant entertainment is a way of numbing ourselves to the realities of life. We turn to it to avoid boredom, discomfort, and sometimes even our own thoughts. But by constantly distracting ourselves, we're robbing ourselves of the chance to grow, to reflect, and to truly experience life. We're trading depth for shallow, fleeting pleasures that do little more than temporarily fill the gaps in our lives. Think about it. When was the last time you sat in silence without reaching for your phone or turning on the TV? When was the last time you allowed yourself to be bored, to just sit with your thoughts and see where they take you? For many of us, the idea of being alone with our thoughts is terrifying, so we drown them out with endless entertainment. But in doing so, we miss out on something incredibly valuable: the opportunity to truly know ourselves, to confront the things that make us uncomfortable, and to find meaning beyond the distractions. I learned this lesson when I decided to take a break from all the noise. I went on a digital detox, cutting out social media, TV, and all the usual distractions for a week. At first, it was incredibly difficult. I felt restless, bored, and anxious. But as the days went on, something surprising happened. I started to reconnect with myself. I found time to think deeply about my goals, my relationships, and my purpose. I started reading books I'd been putting off, journaling my thoughts, and even just enjoying the quiet moments. And it felt liberating. For the first time in a long while, I wasn't running away from life. I was fully present in it. The deep message here is that constant entertainment isn't just a harmless habit. It's a barrier to personal growth, self-discovery, and meaningful living. When we fill every moment with distractions, we're avoiding the very things that could lead us to a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us. We're missing out on the richness that comes from introspection, creativity, and real-life experiences. There's nothing wrong with enjoying entertainment in moderation, but when it becomes a constant need, it's time to take a step back and ask ourselves what we're really avoiding. Is it the discomfort of being alone with our thoughts? The fear of facing our challenges head-on? The emptiness of a life lived on the surface? If you find yourself constantly seeking entertainment, challenge yourself to take a break. Spend time in silence, engage in meaningful conversations, Pursue hobbies that don't involve screens, or simply sit and think. It might be uncomfortable at first, but it's in those moments of discomfort that real growth happens. You'll find that life is much richer when you're not constantly running from it, and that true happiness comes not from distractions, but from a life lived with intention and purpose. So, stop filling every moment with noise and start embracing the silence. Let go of the need for constant entertainment, and you'll discover a deeper, more fulfilling way of living, one that isn't about escaping reality, but about fully embracing it. Habit number 6. Oversharing personal details. In an age where social media invites us to share every aspect of our lives with the world, it's easy to fall into the trap of oversharing personal details. We've all seen it, a friend's long emotional Facebook post, or someone airing out their relationship drama on Instagram for everyone to see. I used to be guilty of this myself, believing that sharing my struggles, opinions, and intimate moments with others, whether online or in person, was a way to connect, to show authenticity, and to build relationships. But here's the uncomfortable reality. Oversharing personal details doesn't bring us closer to others. It often pushes them away, and it can leave us vulnerable in ways we never anticipated. I remember when I first got into social media, I thought that sharing my life openly would make me more relatable and help others understand me better. I would post about my bad days, my frustrations at work, and even the ups and downs of my relationships. At first, it felt liberating to put everything out there, to be completely open and honest. But over time, I noticed something troubling. Instead of feeling more connected to others, I started to feel exposed and even judged. People I barely knew were weighing in on my life, offering unsolicited advice, or worse, using my vulnerabilities against me. Here's the controversial part. Oversharing personal details isn't about being authentic, it's about seeking validation and attention, often at the expense of our own privacy and dignity. When we overshare, we're often looking for sympathy, approval, or reassurance from others, rather than dealing with our emotions in a healthy, private way. We might tell ourselves that we're being brave or open, but in reality, we're giving away pieces of ourselves to people who haven't earned that level of trust or intimacy. There's also the issue of how others perceive us when we overshare. While we might think that being open makes us more likable, it can have the opposite effect. Oversharing can make others uncomfortable, put them in awkward positions, or lead them to question our judgment and boundaries. It can also attract the wrong kind of attention from people who might exploit our vulnerabilities rather than support us. In my case, I learned the hard way that not everyone who listens to your story has your best interests at heart. But the deeper issue with oversharing is what it does to our sense of self. When we habitually share our personal details with others, especially in public forums, we're outsourcing our emotional processing. Instead of taking the time to reflect on our experiences, to understand our feelings, and to decide what's truly worth sharing, we're rushing to put everything out there, hoping for instant feedback or validation. This not only diminishes the value of our experiences, but also prevents us from developing the inner strength and resilience that come from handling our emotions privately. The deep message here is that privacy is a form of power, and oversharing is a way of giving that power away. It's important to understand that not every thought, feeling, or experience needs to be shared with the world. Some things are best kept to ourselves, or shared only with those who've earned our trust and have a genuine interest in our well-being. By holding back, by being more selective about what we share and with whom, we're not being secretive or dishonest, we're being wise. We're preserving our dignity, protecting our vulnerabilities, and maintaining control over our own narrative. This doesn't mean you should never open up to others. Sharing is an essential part of building meaningful relationships, but it's about finding a balance, knowing when and where to share, and understanding that not every aspect of your life needs to be on display. The people who truly care about you will appreciate the parts of you that you choose to share, without needing to know every detail, and the people who don't, well, they don't deserve to know the most intimate parts of your life anyway. If you find yourself in the habit of oversharing, take a step back and ask yourself why. Are you seeking validation? Are you trying to fill an emotional void? Are you hoping that by putting everything out there, you'll somehow find the connection or support you're missing? Once you understand the underlying reasons, you can start to address them in healthier, more private ways. In the end, the key to authentic connection isn't oversharing. It's being intentional about what you share and with whom. It's about recognizing that your personal details are valuable and not everyone deserves access to them. By setting boundaries around your personal life, you're not closing yourself off from others. You're ensuring that the relationships you do have are built on a foundation of mutual respect, trust, and genuine understanding. And that's something far more valuable than the fleeting satisfaction of oversharing. These habits, whether it's people-pleasing, holding grudges, or seeking constant entertainment, are subtle chains that hold you back. The reason I say you should eliminate them quietly is because true growth doesn't need an audience. Real transformation happens in the silent moments, when you're not seeking validation or approval, but simply aligning with your values. When you quietly let go of what doesn't serve you, you build a stronger, more authentic life. It's not about making grand announcements. It's about living with integrity, free from the weight of others' expectations. So, eliminate these habits one by one, quietly and confidently. Watch as your life becomes simpler, more meaningful, and deeply fulfilling.